Sam, what's going on, my friend? How are you today?
Yeah, doing well, thanks. Keeping busy. Lots of stuff going on in the hockey world, so it's good.
Have you been scouting any more basketball games sitting next to Drake recently?
Well, you know, we've been collaborating in things, you know. You know what? It was a pretty funny story. I got a cousin, some friends of mine that actually own those two seats beside Drake, and every once in the blue moon, they become available, not necessarily to me, but to my cousin, mm-hmm. who's also pretty close with those guys. And this particular night, they happened to come up, and it was a pretty funny night, to say the least.
Yeah, well, you got lots of TV camera time because you were situated right next to Drake. So I was kind of wondering, did you see any athletes that could maybe play hockey, just scouting them watching that game?
I am amazed. Like, that Durant is an unbelievable athlete. For a guy that size, to move that well, to shoot that well, getting up and down the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, I was amazed. You know, I don't go to a ton of basketball games, maybe four or five a year. But sitting that close, you get a real sense just how good these guys are. Like, it's unbelievable. The physicality of the game and that sort of thing. So, in terms of just being pure athletes, that Kawhi Leonard is something else too. I mean, his agility, you know, the ability to jump and do things in midair and change his shot and, you know, little jukes to back off the coverage and everything. Really amazing stuff. So I don't pretend to be a basketball mm-hmm. expert for sure, but that was pretty cool sitting there to see just how good those athletes are, see how big they are and see, you know, and see the game from a completely different light.
You know, I love hoops. I can spend the entire segment talking hoops, but that would drive our fans crazy. So we won't go down that road. But something interesting, though, when it comes to athleticism, and when we view hockey players, we look at athleticism a lot differently than maybe in other sports. But are we seeing more of a trend now with athletes getting better at the NHL level? And what traits translate athletically well to the NHL for draft eligible prospects?
Well, it's really funny you say that, because we were in Sherbrooke on the weekend and we had a conversation with Jocelyn Thibault and their head coach, Steph Julian, who played for years in the German Elite League. And the one thing that they've really noticed is that the athletes are so specifically focused now that there are some things that they can't quite do. And if I go back a certain number of years, a lot of the scouts that I talk to that are of my age and a bit older all played baseball in the summer. Yes, they all played hockey and they played junior hockey and a lot of them in the NHL, but they all played baseball in the summer. So whether it's hitting, it's hand-eye coordination, it's you know, the ability to move laterally, those things actually do have an impact on hockey players. But hockey players are so specifically trained for simply hockey these days that I think we've lost out on some of that athleticism. Yes, can they go and do some of the things that CrossFit people do? Yes, are they into Pilates and yoga and figure skating and those things? Yeah, but so much of it is geared just towards what's going to happen in the game of hockey. So a lot of people would think, well, that's really good, your sport-specific training and so on. But I think guys who play basketball, guys who play soccer, guys who play baseball, you know, at a young age or even up until they're 14 or 15, have their muscles move in a different way. And those tend to be the slightly better athletes. I will say this, there is a real noticeable difference, especially in goal. You know, and you look at the catching glove of goaltenders coming up these days, sometimes they're taught that it's only a blocker. You don't even have to close a thing. You just have to get some leather on it. And other times, goalies simply have trouble catching the puck because they don't play baseball. They don't play catch. They never really did those things because they've been so hockey specific since a young age. So that is one position where you definitely that one particular element of it that's not quite as good as it was what it used to be, even let's say, you know, 10 or 12 years ago.
Is that the next evolution we see in training then? Because we're seeing, you know, when it comes to specialized training and hockey stuff and coaching, is the next evolution going to be, you know what, let's play a little bit of basketball here. Let's do a little bit of baseball. Maybe not at a real competitive level, but just to learn those traits and become more functionally athletic in that way.
For me, I don't think that's the case, because who's going to get paid if I'm paying X number of dollars to go to Gary Roberts or Twist Training or whatever it is? You know, am I going to pay those guys a gazillion dollars to run out on the, you know, on a court or a floor and go and play hoops or soccer or baseball? Probably not. But where that evolution might come in the training is let's study what baseball guys are doing. Let's study what football players and basketball players are doing, what they're doing differently from what hockey guys do, and implement some of that into our sport-specific training. So that's more likely the road that it would go down, but simply just picking up a basketball and stuff like that, I think guys should be doing that stuff all the time. Not in season, but out of season for sure. So if it's simply just playing a game, probably not as much. I mean, I know the hockey guys that I know that live around the area that I am, most of them like to play golf. And that's kind of the thing, the Travis Konechny's or the Taylor Radishes or the Strome brothers or whoever. That's what those guys like to do. And that has its benefits, obviously, as well. But it'd be interesting to see if someone kind of takes that next step, because we are doing so many hockey-specific things that what are these other sports doing? What are these high-performance basketball, football, baseball players doing in their off seasons to improve what they do in their sport? And maybe some of that carries over into hockey.
This is perfect, because our listeners who might be parents who thought about buying their kids hockey sticks and expensive equipment are now going the other way. They're thanking you, Sam, because now all they need to go is down to Canadian Tire and buy a basketball, which is significantly cheaper for their kids.
But yeah, no doubt.
To get into the draft rankings that have come out this morning on Sportsnet, the list that you've curated for the first round, I did notice, as we were talking about goaltenders there, a goaltender has popped up in the top 31 draft prospect rankings for the month of December. Spencer Knight with the development program, 6'3", 197 pounds. You said in this write-up, you're dead set against taking a goaltenders in round one, which we haven't seen in a long time. Do you think Spencer Knight could break this, you know, long-standing tradition, apparently, of not taking a goalie this high in an entry draft?
Well, I spoke to one team very specifically about 2 weeks ago. I ran into a representative of this team in the airport, and without getting into great detail, because he didn't want to spill his organization's secrets to me, but basically said that would never happen with us. The analytics just don't bear it out. Now, Jake Oettinger to Dallas at around 25, 26, was it in the 2017 draft? I think might have been the last guy that I can think of. Mm. Then you got Samsonov before that to Washington, maybe in the 2014 draft, I want to say, maybe 15. So it is kind of a rare occurrence. But, you know, the issue that I always have, and I basically put it as, if you're a general manager drafting a goalie in the first round, there's a pretty good chance your tenure won't last long enough to see him play as a regular or even a backup in the NHL. So why do it? They take too long to develop. It's a really hard position, and it's getting harder by the moment with the equipment shrinking, and with our players getting better with stick technology and specific shooting skills. You know, you think about Austin Matthews, wrote a really good piece in The Athletic about Matthews, about how all they want to see him do is change this and change that so that he can increase his shooting percentage by 2%. If he can do that, it means X number of goals. X number of goals means yada, 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 so on and so forth. So that's the kind of minuscule changes that we'd be talking about. So getting back to goaltenders, the thing why I included him in my first round in this particular rank is that you can't ignore the noise. And so many scouts that I talked to or went into are like, wow, you should have seen Knight, or have you seen Knight much, or what about Knight? And so after a while, you start to think, if all these people are bringing it up, and with what I've seen from him, you know, there's enough noise there to put him in the first round. Now, again, things change a little bit if you're a team that has multiple picks in the first round. Mm-hmm. And I haven't gone down that road yet. And surely, you know, we might see some of that change as we move towards the trade deadline and so on. But that's, in my humble opinion, and a goal in the first round, not so much.
Now, in this list that came out just about half an hour ago, you've got 8 centers listed in the top 15, and we know the positional importance of having a good center and also good defensemen. Will we see a similar draft like last year where the centers that are being drafted in the top 5, top 10 push back some of the defenders and wingers that we saw? Like last year, getting Quinn Hughes at 7 for Vancouver was a coup, and maybe Detroit still feels that way about Philip Zadina at number 6 because a guy like Barrett Hayton got drafted 5th overall, and we know, we perhaps know why, in the sense that he was one of the top centers available.
That's it. And Kotkaniemi, I think people would say the same thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, when Montreal was looking specifically at a center with size, and turned out to be a pretty good pick. You know, I got to say, I know quite a few people on that Montreal staff, and they took a lot of heat for when they made that pick. And I think most of them didn't even figure that he'd be playing in North America this year, let alone being a pretty big piece for what's turned out to be a nice story in Montreal. So pretty happy for those guys. They really stuck their neck out on the line to make that pick. And to this point, it's really, really worked out well for them. And, you know, by all accounts, listen to our Sportsnet analysts and Hockey Central, they love the guy. They love the way he thinks the game. They love the way he goes about his business. If you talk to the young man, he's happy to be coming to the rink. He's got a smile on his face. So there is that to consider. But getting back to the center ice position, it's such a key part to the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening this morning to some stuff on radio, on XM radio, actually, and the NHL Network there, and they're talking about the fourth line in the Islanders with Cizikas, Martin, Clutterbuck. And I think Cizikas is the center there. I mean, if you have a fourth line center who can do, you know, can play on your PK, who, you know, can bump and grind and still give you decent point production and on a fourth line, that's really important. So when you look at that center ice position, man, oh man, it's such a huge thing that the really good teams go three deep. Some of them go four deep. And what does that mean? I mean, that's getting your high, super high-end guys in your one and two positions and then moving down the rest of the way. So it's a hugely, hugely important position. And those guys tend to be the drivers of play. And I think we're going to see a lot of them go here in the early portion of the 2019 draft.
We're talking NHL draft prospects with Sam Constantino. His latest rankings are available on sportsnet.ca. And we know the Canucks have had a lot of success under this regime, taking players out of the U.S. under-18 program or the U.S. developmental program. And a couple of players I've been keeping a very close eye on. One particular defenseman who could very well step in and take over from Quinn Hughes next season at the University of Michigan is Cam York. And he's been rising up the draft rankings. Very talented player. A little undersized, I guess, but tell our listeners about how exciting the prospects of Cam York being an NHL player is.
This is a guy who grew up in Anaheim, and one of his coaches at a younger age was Scott Niedermeyer. So when you look at the two players, they do have similar abilities in that their skating, their edge work, their speed, the effortless type skating are similar traits. And then in terms of being that offensive defenseman, that puck mover, that guy who's creative, who has really good vision, those things all come to the fore. When you combine that skating ability with the vision, the offensive creativity, and, hey, a little bit of that California attitude, I think you're looking at what's going to be a really good player. He's come on of late. He was good at the under-18s. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he projects here the rest of the way. But he's a guy, too, that, you know, when you talk to scouts, his name seems to be mentioned more often than not. And that's something that definitely, you know, gets my attention when talking to people.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him. I've seen a little bit of him. Very exciting. I noticed your rankings too. And I was talking to somebody the other day who said, hey, keep an eye on this kid who's probably going to take over from Quinn Hughes next year and could be very exciting. And another American player, because you're kind of looking at players that Canucks might be interested in given their past, and they may need some help on the left wing. Matthew Boldy is a kid that could be pretty exciting. And, you know, he's 6'1", he's got a lot of ability, but it is his hands that really stand out, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, he has got magic hands. And again, the same, you talk to a bunch of people, like, oh my gosh, how does a guy who's this size, you know, have that kind of ability of what we see from a player usually a lot smaller in stature. So that is the thing that sticks out for him. He's a shooter as well. I think there's a lot of deception with those hands in terms of, you know, changing the blade or moving the angle of the stick to be able to, you know, to be able to score as effectively as he does. But the one thing that the hands do as well, and I always think about Connor McDavid, and, you know, there's very few people in the world that have this trait, but your ability to move pucks while in motion, and it gives you that extra maybe half a second or titch of a second to be able to complete passes because people aren't expecting it to come off your stick when they do. And watching Connor McDavid, even going back to his days in Erie, that was a trait that he possessed because his hands are so good and his wrists are so strong. So it'd be, you know, it looked like Connor was, you know, going to carry the puck up the ice and stick handle it a few times. The next thing you know, it'd be off his stick to Strom or to Brinkett or somebody else. He'd jump into a hole, he'd get it back, and, you know, and most likely it was going to end up in the back of the net. So Boldy has those type of magic hands, and they're obviously really good for goal scoring, but the hands can be equally as effective in making plays and completing plays that others can't because of the strength that you have in your wrist and your ability to move the puck well, you know, well on the fly. So Boldy does have that going for him for sure.
Pettersson is of a similar ilk, the way he's able to just get into open space that seemingly wasn't there, but he's able to create all that kind of space. So I think Canucks fans are recognizing the true danger of having a guy like him. Now, it's the third edition of your draft rankings here on Sportsnet.ca. Third month in a row, Bowen Byram has ranked as the top defenseman available in 2019. Are you coming to the conclusion that no matter what really happens and barring a major injury, it's going to be Byram going first, or at least the first defenseman taken in this year's draft?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that right now. I mean, York's had a steady rise, so too is Vlasic, who plays in the program as well. And I think the one guy who may be able to make some noise here and challenge Byram for that spot would be Philip Broberg. And he's an interesting study in that he wasn't named to the original selection camp roster for the Swedes, the World Junior, but Toronto Maple Leafs prospect Timothy Liljegren is dealing with a high ankle injury, and as a result of that injury, he's unable to participate in the camp. They've now invited Philip Broberg to be part of that, and if he can go ahead and make that team, even if it were in a limited role, you know, that's pretty heady stuff because they're deep on the back. The Swedes are really deep on the back with that 99, you know, age group.
Mm-hmm.
So in keeping an eye on him, I think coming out of the Hlinka-Gretzky tournament in the summer, most people, you know, vaulted him from basically out of nowhere right up into their top 10, and rightfully so because he was just dynamite at that tournament. But I do think that, you know, he's gone back. He's kind of settled into his game a little bit. And I do think the World Juniors could have a big impact for him. But he'd probably be the guy that I think could sneak up on Byram for the simple fact that a lot of people saw him in the summertime. And that summer tournament really has a lot of currency as you continue to move forward.
What about the fact that most of these defensemen in the 2019 first round, they're all lefties, and the one guy who's a righty and the highest ranked in the December list is Antoni Hanka. And is there a chance that maybe his value goes up by default, not just because of how skilled he might be, but because teams still do value having a defenseman on the right side of the pairing with a right-hand shot, whereas guys like Vlasic, Bowen Byram, Cam York, they're all lefties?
I think it's an important trait, and you know, does it allow him to get maybe up ahead of some of those other guys? Not necessarily, but what it might do is increase his value to the point where he ends up going a little bit higher than where maybe, you know, people project or expect him to go. You know, I always think about Mike Babcock and going back to the, you know, the World Cup team in 2016. I had an opportunity to call those games for the fan network, and he was pretty adamant about having his left shot, right shot. And whether it's, you know, pulling pucks off boards, making so many fewer plays on the backhand, so your ability to control the puck and to manage the puck as a group is increasingly better when you have your left-right pairing. So it is an important trait as analytics continue to, you know, to move forward into the game. I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, puck management, puck possession, those types of things by having your D pairings left-right as much as possible.
And Sam, before we let you go, Kaapo Kakko has gone from number 5 on your list to number 2. And we have people asking, you know, why the big rise in him? But the question I have more than anything is, how hard will it be to knock him off that second spot that you have him in now?
Yeah, that's going to be a real challenge. And I think if there's a couple of guys that can do it, Vasily Podkolzin would be a guy who can do it. He's really started off on fire here at the World Junior A Challenge. He too had a great summer camp. He got the chance to play with, Denisenko and Kravtsov went at the under 20 event in Europe in November, and he performed really well there. So, you know, he's starting to build a really nice case for himself here. And the odd part about him is he goes back to the MHL, which is the Russian version of the CHL, and it's not a particularly strong league, and he seems to struggle there. But whenever he gets into international competition, be it with older players...
I think we may have just lost Sam on the line. That's Sam Constantino from Sportsnet, and his rankings are up on Sportsnet.ca.
Sportsnet 650.